Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Baird, your speaker. Today we will continue in our current series of studies, The Christian Security. Security is a matter of just trusting the Lord, and all that security when He and His love sustains us. And today we wish to speak upon that love that cannot falter. We've talked about the word that cannot change, because God doesn't change. Our Lord cannot die. He died once on the cross for our sins, and now death has no more dominion over Him. We have a life that cannot end, and we have a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Now today we wish to speak upon a love that cannot falter. God's love cannot fail. God is love. We read in 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, the wonderful fact, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God, and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love." This is the fourth chapter of John's Gospel. We get over to love. Now, in the first chapter of John's first epistle, we read about the fact that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. That light would bring before us, I believe, that light would bring before us our sin and our need of God's salvation. And then we realize that God in His love has met that need by giving His own Son for you and for me. And so we have the fact that God is love, and it manifests itself in its care for us. Now let's speak of the characteristic of God's love from Isaiah chapter 49, verses 15 and 16. And there we read, "Can a woman forget her suckling child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee," God promises. "Behold, I have engraved thee on the palms of my hands." If you will, please, think of that, the characteristics of God's love. Now, it's constant, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. It's a constant remembrance, a constant existence for you and for me, and nothing can reach us but that it has to pass through that love. Now, it's costly. Did you notice, please? "I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands." Who is this speaking of? It's speaking of our Lord Jesus Christ, who bears in the palms of His hands the print of the nails. God says, "I've engraved you, now I have not marked you." I have had the habit in days gone by, and perhaps you have too, that if I had something that I wanted to remember, I wrote it in the palm of my hand, and then when I would open up my hand and look at it, then I would see what I had written. But here He says, He goes farther than that. He says, "Yeah, they may forget, but I will not forget. I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands." And that's the proof of Christ's love. It shows in His body. You know, someday we're going to be raptured into the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to see Him, and we're going to be with Him forever and forever. And you know that we're going to be perfect. This is from the third chapter of John's first epistle. The third chapter, we're going to be perfect. But do you know that Christ bears the marks of Calvary in His body to this day and always will? Think of that, if you will, please. When He showed Himself to His disciples on the eve of His resurrection, He was resurrected that morning, and it was in the evening when He got back and to His disciples, and He showed them the palms of His hands, and He told them, and he displayed the evidences of His crucifixion, and His body was resurrected at that time in its perfect eternal condition. If you please, think of that. He will be the only one in heaven that is marred, and we will see the prints of the nails graven in the palms of His hands and in His heart, the wound in His side, and that spear went upward, and I have no doubt that it pierced his very heart itself. Oh, we'll never forget the fact. God's not going to let us forget the fact that Christ loved us and he died for us. This was the burden of his love. Now we'll talk about the manifestation of God's love. Love always gives. Now, for instance, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Now, that's a gift. He gave his only begotten Son, the best he had. God gave his Son for me, gave him up to die on the cross of Calvary, and for you. Everyone listening to this broadcast has got as much right to claim that as I have. He died for you. And if you please, he gave his own Son. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That's a play on heartstrings. His only begotten Son. His only. All he had, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life, if you please. And we have the love of the Father displayed. Now we have the love of Christ displayed in his love to the church. In Ephesians chapter 5, we read there, in verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, and that he might wash it and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. If you please, just listen. Husbands, love your wives. Men, we've got a task on our hands. God asked the woman to obey her husband. He asked her that, but he asked the husband to love his wife as Christ loved the church, in the same degree, in the same manner, that husband would be willing to die for his wife if necessary. And then he loves the individual too. The Apostle Paul, for instance, in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, writes, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. It's a very individual matter. We can appropriate Christ ourselves. Do you think that the Apostle Paul is the only person that can say this? No, indeed. I can say it, and you have a right to say it too. Now, we have the love of the Spirit mentioned. In Romans chapter 15 and verse 30, we read there, where the apostle writes to those in Rome, now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. Now, if you please, the Spirit gives us something. He gives gifts to the church. In the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians, he gives various gifts to the church of God. And he not only does that, he gives fruits to the individual. We read in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. If you please, think of the fact. He develops the fruit of the Spirit in you and in me. Now, that is wonderful. He's really, who do these words describe? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Who do they speak of? They speak of Christ. He was the only one that possessed all of these things in their fullest extent. And the Spirit of God is developing that in you and me because he loves us. Now let's talk about love, if you please, that's manifested in the human family. We've just read Ephesians 5 and 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. You know, there's no security without love. And a woman, indeed, who knows her husband loves her, and he demonstrates it, and he shows her that he loves her. Oh my, how wonderful that she has that security. She knows that he'll go all the way for her. Then the children show that love brings security. I was for a number of years the assistant superintendent at the Christian Home for Children. And in those days, children were institutionalized. Now, the welfare authorities seek to see them placed in individual homes, and you do not see the orphanages that you used to see. They're non-existent. But these children came to us, and they many, many times were deprived of their parents. They came to us by reason of death, by reason of divorce, by reason of disease, perhaps in the family. And they came to us because this was the only place for them. And they were indeed hungry for love, but they were fearful. They didn't know us. A child that doesn't know you is not very friendly. And they came into a home where there were a lot of other children, scores of them, and they were fearful. But it was wonderful to see the love that the Christians there and everybody in that home was devoted to those children. But it was lovely to see them waken up to the fact that they're loved, and the security developed, and they became full of joy. And it was just wonderful to see those children. Children experience and show by that love brings security. Now, the protection and the stability of God's love that he brings to his children is seen in Romans chapter 8. We see three things here in the 8th chapter of Romans. It's one of the favorite chapters of the Bible. And we see that in verse 1, there's no condemnation. I'll read it. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So we have no condemnation. Now, if you go down to verse 33, you read there, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Here we see that nobody can bring a charge against God's elect. They've got to get to him first before they can get to us. What do we read here? Why, we read absolutely that there is no, absolutely no accusation against us. Now, there's no separation. Go on, if you please. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep of the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, height, depth, no creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Therein is security. Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. In his name, amen.